Good evening, I'm Douglas Bowles, and this is 42 Minutes, a production of SyncBook Radio and thesyncbook.com, a weekly conversation with the interesting artists and thinkers of our day. You can find us online at 42minutes.com, and you can reach us by sending a message to mail at 42minutes.com. Today, we have the good fortune of continuing on with our music theme by meeting someone we've only heard and read about secondhand. Yesterday, on this first day of April for episode number 130, we're excited to find that this evening's guest has come out of exile
and is again working and performing in the States. Hello, I'm Will Morgan, and tonight, 42 Minutes welcomes Andy Shmushkin, musician, singer, master of ceremonies, and practitioner, no, yet the embodiment of the new masculine. Mr. Shmushkin was born with a mustache and is most known for his album from the earlier part of this decade entitled Total Fucking Bullshit. Most recently, he hosted Clusterfucking, which was Rostock's December Film Festival. In his vein, he will also be hosting Rainer Beer's first annual Dive Bar Film Fest tomorrow at the Grand Illusion Cinema in Seattle. More information about this event can be found on the Sync Books Facebook page or by finding the Facebook event, which we will link to on our website. It's a pleasure to finally be meeting Andy Shmushkin this evening. Hello and welcome.
Hello.
It sounds like you've got a guitar with you this evening.
I do. I always have a guitar with me. I always have a mustache with me, and I usually have somebody else with me. I don't know who's going to be. But they're going to be there.
Well, I was wondering if you could perhaps serenade that other individual as if they were with you right now. It seems to me that I can feel the charge that you want to perform. I was wondering if you would be so kind.
Oh, no. I'm very excited. We have 42 minutes, and I do a lot of singing. I do a lot of going out and playing for the people, for the children, and for the women and for the men and for the pets, pretty much for everybody. I play my songs for everybody, but I don't get many opportunities to talk. Usually I let my representation do that for me, but 42 minutes is an honor that I covet and I respect and I cherish. And I want to be able to answer your questions and maybe give some insight into maybe some of the things that have been misunderstood about my work.
Sure, you've been called a CD raconteur, and I feel like we know so much about Shmushkin, but that we still don't know Shmushkin. Who is Shmushkin?
Well,
should we call you Shmushkin, or should we call you Andy?
No, please call me Shmushkin. My name is a... you say the name Shmushkin, it's like you're saying my daddy's name. I respect that. You know, it warms my heart. Andy is you know, we will hang out. That's I'll be Andy. But here, yeah, when I represent the work, I am Shmushkin. Here on 42 Minutes, I'm Shmushkin. You know, we're over a beer. Call me Andy. I don't care. You know, but here on the air, yeah, Shmushkin's my father's name, my grandfather's name. Now I don't know. Are you aware of my father's work? The Shmushkin line.
I mean,
my father was one of Canada's most famous alcoholics in the 1970s and 80s, and he did a lot of things. He promoted things, booked things, sold things. He moved product. He did what he needed to do, but mostly he was a charmer who was very good at drinking with people. And that was, you know, they did commercials. Like, it's funny, you said Rainier all wrong. Well, it's Rainier, you know, and
Mount Rainier Beer's first annual Dive Bar Film Fest.
Yeah, alcohol culture is what I come from on my father's side. My mother is currently a Buddhist monk in Banff, which is in the Canadian Rockies. It's a beautiful terrain. I grew up in till I was 13, a child born with a mustache might have been ridiculed under other circumstances, but to grow up in a monastery, it was idyllic. I know. You laugh.
How would that... Were you looked upon as perhaps a relic or a deity? I mean,
aren't all children looked upon as golden children until they disappoint those who projected that upon them?
When did you begin disappointing?
Great question, Mr. Bowles. My father reappeared around the time I was 13. And it was the first time I saw another man with a mustache. And
so this is like the Parsifal tale? Are you familiar with the Parsifal tale where the mother holds the son away from the world and then the first time the son sees the contact with the men, it's like he's seeing angels for the first time?
No, Douglas, it's nothing like that.
Actually, it's beautifully like that. It was like that. It was as if when I first cast eyes upon my father's visage, it was as if angels sang. And from about the age of 13 to 16, I traveled with him sporadically. He claimed some parental privilege, and it was agreed that he could have me for this week or that week or whatnot. And at the age of 16, having experienced the world in which he lived and which I've chosen as my world, the world of bars and, I don't know, the world of indulgence, I suppose. I traveled with him from the age of 16 to about when I turned 21. When I became 21 and I could drink in America, I came to America.
Oh, wow. Good sir, you seem like an individual who is completely themselves. I mean, there's no fronts. You're free. You can do and be and choose to be who you want with no fear of judgment. And someone like me who's had a problem with this their whole life, is there any advice you can give me to be more myself?
Yes. Find a good manager.
Okay, and speaking of your manager, what is your relationship to Andras Jones, and do you have or share any connection to Louis Schmulen and or Isaac Shushkin?
No, look. I put up with this in a lot of other situations, but you have had Andras. Like, I'm glad to promote Andras as much as possible, because he has contributed a great deal to what I do. But in this forum, I don't need to mention him. He is well promoted in the realm of Sync. He's my manager, my co-writer, my Svengali, my Hebro, and you want to talk to him, you can talk to him.
I'm kind of curious. I'm curious on what Shmushkin thinks about. What does Shmushkin think about Sync? Where's Shmushkin at with Sync?
Well, I
is that Andras's territory?
I'm a product of Sync.
My specific question was more toward the root of your shared connection. I know that you guys are almost like brothers.
Okay, well, I'll tell you
but do you share a great grandfather, a great great grandfather that goes back to Russia?
We're speculating.
No.
I bring this up because
this is you know what? This is one of the things. This is one of those areas where in the past I would have hung up. But let me just say that I love your show, and you're entirely wrong in this regard. There is, if you want to talk about Sync and me and Andras Jones, it is the crazy Sync that we share the same ancestral name. The difference being that my father owned his ancestral name. And neither his father nor his mother did. He's one of these lost Americans with no actual lineage. There's no nothing. There's nothing there. I mean, there's a human being, whatever, but but the lineage is not there. Whereas I was lucky. I was raised by a mother who was a Buddhist monk in the, you know, in the Canadian Rockies, and my father was a heroic rogue. I mean, the difference between us is the difference between something that could have been and something that is. And that's, you know, it may sound shitty, but I believe that even I'm looking at him in the corner. He totally agrees.
May I read something that he wrote about you?
Absolutely. Can I play while you read?
Sure, sure. He says, meeting Andy Shmushkin was like encountering a member of my family who hadn't been infected by the fear of Russian Cossacks, SS stormtroopers, and American anti-communists. Nor had he been indoctrinated in the self-hatred that afflicts me and many of the post-feminist men of my generation. He had somehow managed to avoid the warping influence of these forces upon his consciousness. Working with him was like spending time in a world where there was more air, better light, and where anything felt possible. We had some great times and did some awesome things together. Could you share some of those awesome things?
Oh, man. I'll tell you, he is... That guy can write. I mean, he's a big old fucking liar, but it's wonderful. I love you writers. You writers are so, you invest these moments, these trivial moments, with such majesty. Yeah, the chimes at midnight thing, we did it.
I feel you, but man, I gotta tell you, I'm itching. I've gotta hear you sing, Shmushkin. You're going, and we've talked for a good long time. I think it's time to hear a tune.
Well, you know, I have a new role. I'm hosting this thing called the Dive Bar Film Festival, and I'm acting a lot more. Mm-hmm. I'm playing music. I think I'm becoming Frank Sinatra. In an age where Frank Sinatra is not what you'd want to be, but that's okay. So I'm playing in this, I'm acting in this film called The Binge Chronicles that the guys at Rostock are making. I'm hosting this Dive Bar Film Festival tomorrow night. I'm acting and playing a detective in this Dan Byrne web series called 10,000 Crappy Songs. And mostly I'm playing this theatrical gig as I'm pretending to be a bartender named Jonesy Dillinger at a place called Dillinger's, Olympia, Washington.
All right.
Andras got me this gig, and it's the sweetest gig ever. Musicians we have to work really hard. We don't get paid. But actors, they get, you know, and bartenders, oh man. Gotta work hard, but anyway, check out this song. Dillinger's on Washington's, got 10 seats at the bar. I got to give me one. And Sherilyn Dillinger, she stirs that gin for the connoisseurs, and Dillinger's got to Tractors, man. One's on Washington and one's on Ford. The brotherhood is good for beer. Swang is good for wine. But now that Dylan Jersey's here, it's where I spend my time. Dylan Dillinger's on Washington's got 10 seats at the bar. I got to get him one. I got to get him one little bit. Got to get him one. Me one. Me one. Me one. Dillinger. Dillinger's.
Thank you.
Wow.
I hope that was good. I hope that sounded okay.
I loved it. You know, that song is about Dillinger's and Jonesy Jones, this character that you've created.
Jonesy, actually at the bar is Jonesy Dillinger.
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 He's
wonderfully adventurous.
As an individual who's new to acting, who inspired this character?
It's not a who, it's a what. Jonesy Dillinger is a manifestation of Olympia in a way. You find the spirit of a place and then you manifest that. I did it with Monaco, but I didn't have a name. I don't want to talk about Monaco. It's a heartbreaking situation.
What is that?
Sorry to have brought it up. Sorry, never mind. Don't bring it up.
You bet. But okay, so the thing that I'm thinking about is, for the better part of the last 10 years, you've been in exile, as we mentioned.
I've been in exile from America. As an American, you see me as being an exile. I am a citizen of the world, so I think of myself as just having a lot of sex in Europe.
Okay. I mean, so Andras called the chapter about you called Shmushkin in exile in his accidental
associations. Well, yeah, because he missed me.
But, I mean, he does a really nice job of tying in his own heritage.
He was an exile. He was an exile and he was here. Think about it.
Nah, I can see that.
But so when did you get back to the States and what brought you back?
Well, I came back last year and for this little, it was a totally chump change gig he set up for me. Whatever. Let's not talk about him. I came back for this gig and we wrote some just beautiful music. It was like total fucking bullshit, but it wasn't total fucking bullshit. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Is this the mustache music?
Yeah. The mustache music demos were really, really special. I don't know. It's one of those. It was like total fucking bullshit. It just came. It just flowed, and it was right. And it's like we can maybe do this once a decade. I don't know.
And then I've heard that Total Fucking Bullshit might have been what you called women's music, but mustache music is men's music. Can you elaborate on that a little?
Well, it's
is this way off base?
No. We've put that out, and that's what I believe. That's the intention. Total Fucking Bullshit was written for the women. For the women in my life, for the women in your life. And I'm not talking about just the adult women. It was written for all ages of women, for your grandmother, for your daughters. It's not like I want to fuck you music. It's like I want you to see, as a woman, I want you to understand the inside of a man's mind. Mustache music is saying, in a weird kind of way, forget about the women. As you and me as men, isn't this the truth? Does that make sense?
Yeah.
I happen to be a man, so I know more about that. When I was younger, all I wanted to do was be around women. Now, generally, I don't want to be around anyone. But my experience is the experience of a man. So on, when we were writing those songs, we hit upon this theme of guys who have fucked everyone they could possibly fuck, who have lived out every fantasy they could live, and there's a place that you find at the end of that, which is sacred and lonely and holy, and as the great songwriter of our time would say, a sign of the times. And of course, I am speaking of Prince.
And it's this, the new masculine, then? That mustache music is a representation of the philosophy of the new masculine, would you say?
I think that mustache music is the personification of the new masculine embodied in the old masculine. Because in a world without lineage, in a world without tradition, at some point, someone has to gather up all the shit and make it into a perfect golem. And I like to think that my collaboration with the guy that you keep wanting to talk about, but I don't want to talk about, is that I'm making Andras Jones into the perfect golem. Hmm.
Well, so who is Dan?
I'm sorry.
Pot is legal in Colorado.
I gotta say that those sounds that Will is making, if I didn't have such a good sound system, a miking system here, you'd hear that Andras Jones is making those same wretched laughs.
Well, so speaking about the future then, and fashioning the garbage and turning it into art, you know, who is Dan Byrne?
Oh.
And what are you doing with him?
Dan Byrne is one of the great artists of our age, one of the great songwriters. He was Sync before Sync was Sync. And every Sync artist would behoove them to be aware of this guy. Seek out his demos. Check out the films that he's written for. I got to back off a second. There's a place where I get very excited about certain artists, but it doesn't lend them any credibility. So I'm going to back off here, and I'm just going to say, Dan Byrne, check him out.
Well, how did you get to know him? Where did you meet him?
Oh, well, of course, it all comes through management. Everything comes through management. If you aren't managed, if you don't have a manager, you are nothing. I'm sorry, guys. You guys, do you have a management?
Yeah.
Oh.
No.
Well, then one of you has a chance, and the other one of you is fucked. The one of you who has you better have good management, because it's possible that the one of you who is fucked could end up with good management. And if you have bad management right now, the other one of you, it's not going to work. I'm just telling you because I've seen it. Total fucking bullshit was my initiation. That's one of those things that he who will not be mentioned in this interview got right.
Was that a bad managerial experience in your, you know, when you were exiled?
Yeah, he wasn't, no. The worst thing the best and worst thing you can have is a visionary manager.
Well, explain that to our listeners. So it seemed like your early career, you were poised to have, you were going to make a national splash.
Oh,
but then
I love
something
your booby
happened.
Traps, Douglas.
What happened was the anti-Schmushkinites.
Right. And so who are the anti-Schmushkinites and what was their problem with you?
This will, I hope, illuminate a strain in American culture that ties to it's like the debates between Jerry Rubin and G. Gordon Liddy. My management hooked up because I hooked up with Andras. My management created a situation where I had a deal with National Lampoon Records, even though National Lampoon Records did not exist. They were interested in making records, and they had made records, and they eventually made records. So National Lampoon Records existed, but it didn't exist. It was like Schrodinger's cat. And we had a brilliant idea, which was to create a hate group to show up at, made up of comedians and actors who would show up at my shows and protest in an absurd way, creating an environment that was entertaining on the outside of the venue as well as the inside of the venue, because I want to give to my audience. But but the people we engaged to create this with their acting group were in an acting group with some people who were actually genuinely insane and deeply anti-Semitic, and who had some major issues about sex and children, and started showing up at my shows accusing me of being a child molester.
Well,
it was horrible.
Did you have... Yeah. You had a girlfriend who was working for a magazine called Barely Legal? Is that... True.
So this was my first job in the United States was as a chaperone for Barely Legal models. So Larry Flint had been sued so many times that he had to engage licensed. I mean, I used to joke that I was the... I'm blanking on the name right now. The neutered guards in the harems. Not the castrati's. What were they?
I know what you're talking about, but the word escapes me.
Yeah, we're all blanking on it because no one wants to think about that. So that was my job. was to be to chaperone 18-year-old girls that I would never. You don't know, but being a child with a mustache, I got more sex, more. I got more love from more women by the age of 13 than most men get in their lifetime. And I do not think of it as child abuse or sexual abuse. I think of it as being very lucky. My point is that I don't have any, it's not about excitement or something prurient. Are you with me, guys?
I'm with you. And what did Andy Dick have to do with all this? Barely Legal and anti-Schmushka Nights?
He is the... If Andras Jones were Jimmy Stewart, Andy Dick would be the Invisible Rabbit. In heart.
Sure.
Dig back, sink heads. You got to get into the sink films of the 1940s.
No, we know Harvey.
Okay.
Good experience. But I need a break,
Andy
you guys.
Dick is Andras Jones's Pooka, and I am Andy Schmushkin.
I got to tell you, I need another song. I need a break. I need to compose. I need to meditate for a second. So is it possible to ask for another song, Andy?
I'll play you another song. Now, do you want one of the songs? One of my songs, or do you want one of? I play mostly cover. I play Andras Jones songs, and I play my songs, and I play my daddy's songs, and I play covers of many varieties. What do you want?
What is the mood striking right now?
I want some Rolling Stones.
I can give you I could sing about a stripper, and that's the closest I can get to doing.
I'll take it.
Well, I was stalking this stripper, but that don't make me no Jack the Ripper. I was doing it sensitively. I would go into a bar where I know she wouldn't be and hope that she would come looking for me. You see, I met her in this restaurant next to a bar where people to get to put money in a penny. She will let you if you got the cash and the noise. Yeah, the girl is there to save you some hot cross. Who hot cross? Get up on that hot cross, yeah. Well, when one's courting a stripper, is it customary for one to tip her? She told me that she wasn't a tramp. I said I wasn't, invited her back to my camp. She said, not tonight, but maybe some other time I might. That's all I needed to hear. It's hot, that hot cross in my ear. So every Monday night at 10, I would go back to that bar again. Read my book and drink and ask the bartender what he thinks of my 10 chances. He says, look, girls like that, they don't do no free dances. I hope I will be the exception, but the bartender's look says I'm setting myself up for rejection on account of that hot cross. Good hot cross, get up on a hot cross, yeah. Good hot cross, get up on a hot cross, yeah. Well, I'm still stalking that stripper, I guess, but there ain't no need for fear to grip her. Yes, I'm gonna keep my dick in my pants, but I ain't never gonna pay for no dance. I'm just sniffing around for romance and hoping that you give me a chance at some of that hot cross. Hot cross, get up on a hot cross, yeah. That's a song my father taught me back in 1985.
In Canada?
Oh, yeah. Oh, there was some stripping in Canada in 1985. It was a thing to behold. I don't know why I get country when I get when I you can tell that I'm happy if I'm talking country. I don't know why.
Slide back into your roots.
You're not the only one, my man.
When I get happy, I sound like Matthew McConaughey. He is the happiest sounding man in America. Even when he's talking shit, he sounds happy.
What was the end result with the anti-Schmushkinites? What happened?
That's what every Jew in America and Canada and Mexico and everywhere else is asking. What happens with the anti-Schmushkinites?
But did they effectively shut down your career? Or
what?
You tell me. I'm still here. My new record's beautiful. I still have management. So, you know, to the anti-Schmushkinites, they're going to get bored before I do. Or they're my greatest fans, in which case I love them. It's a confusing thing. But the anti-Schmunites may be my greatest creation.
So then what are you doing with Dan Byrne?
It's a web series about a songwriter who quits songwriting to become a detective and finds that the only way he can access his powers as a detective is through the world he knew through songwriting or through... actually being a songwriter as a cover for his detecting. But mostly it captured... Dan has a voice. Have you seen Walk Hard or Get Him to the Greek?
I've seen Get Him to the Greek.
Dan wrote Furry Walls.
Oh, I see.
And The Clap. Co-wrote both of those songs. And he wrote most of the great songs in Walk Hard. And before that, he is a songwriter who is like he was in, before I encountered the sync community, I encountered women. And before that, I encountered the music of Dan Byrne and Andras Jones. And as good as Andras is, Dan Byrne is the best.
So that's exciting.
If Art Garfunkel wrote as good as he sang, Andras Jones would be the Art Garfunkel to Dan Byrne's Paul Simon. And that is some code, y'all.
So we're winding down. What can we expect tomorrow night at the Grand Illusion in Seattle?
I'm going to play a very sophisticated set. I will play Tom Waits. I will play Frank Sinatra, and I will play Andras Jones. I will. It's good. I'll tell you one thing. I'm going to do. So, I don't know if you remember, but back in the 1970s, there were these Rainier beer commercials.
Oh, yeah.
And that's what the Rainier beer is. I'm happy because I'm dipping south. You can hear it.
You can hear it.
And I'm going to end my set with Rain. Near beer. Rain. Beer. Rain. Near. Beer. That's really out of tune, but it'll be more in tune tomorrow. But do you remember those commercials?
Yes, I do. And that was 42 minutes. Thanks for sharing it with us.
Good night, fellows. I hope this is not too embarrassing to my management. I experienced no embarrassment whatsoever.
Well, you've been listening to Andy Schmushkin on SyncBook Radio, a production of thesyncbook.com. More information about the work of Andy can be found at myspace.com/Schmushkin. For more information about the SyncBook or guests, to check out past shows or to subscribe to the podcast via iTunes, please be sure and visit our website at 42minutes.com. If you like the podcast, please support it by becoming a donor. You'll find the donation links under each episode on the website and consider setting up a monthly charge. Thanks so much. And a mustache is a man's way.
A mustache is a man's way of saying I'm through with love. A mustache is a man's way of saying I've had enough. A mustache is a man's way of saying I got a job to do. A mustache is a man's way of saying, girl, I'm over you. Cause cowboys and cops and gay prostitutes know that there are some places that girls just can't go. And a mustache is a man's way of saying, I'm over it. A mustache is a man's way of saying, I no longer give a shit. And a mustache is a man's way of saying, you can't get to me. A mustache is a man's way of saying, my life is a comedy. Cause pirates and pimps and Burt Reynolds fans know that there are some places that girls just can't grow. A mustache is a man's way of saying